Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz on the line from our studio a little bit south of the border, and right a little bit north of the border, we have Susan Hergesell, who, if I say it correctly, I believe she's the president of the Becoming an Outdoors Woman of California. Susan, is that right?
That's correct, John.
Well, why don't you give us a little bit of an idea, first of all, what it's Becoming an Outdoors Woman is all about.
Well, Becoming an Outdoors Woman is an international organization. And we're in 47 states and 6 Canadian provinces and New Zealand. And it was created in 1991 by Dr. Christine Thomas at the University of Wisconsin. And it was created to give women a kind of a safe environment in which to learn outdoor skills. A lot of times, women probably should not be taught to hunt or fish by, you know, their dads or their boyfriends or their husbands. Once you involve that personal element, sometimes it gets a little confusing. So,
but I'll do it.
Yeah, I bet you would, Grizz. Yeah,
I will. You bring volunteer. Them down here, I'll teach them how to fish big tuna and everything.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of like, the last thing you'd want to do is teach your wife how to drive.
I don't do that.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And all of our instructors are just, they're experts in their field, and they know how to teach women. Mm-hmm. When a woman is learning something for the first time, when she's a beginner, she doesn't like competition. She doesn't like, let's see if you can outshoot or outfish this one. They will retreat, and I've seen it in action.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. All they want to do is learn, and they.
I'll do it.
I know.
And I'll let them beat me every time, catching a bigger fish than me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that sounds good.
That's an interesting point because women, a couple of things. First of all, they don't want to feel intimidated. And the other thing is that I hadn't really thought about it, but men do tend to be a little bit more competitive, don't they?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you can, I've seen it on when we're shooting traps. Women tend to go up and shoot, and they get very, very excited and scream and, oh, wow, when they hit a clay. Men have an absolute different reaction. The first guy that hits the clay, the next guy, he starts to sweat.
Oh.
He does. Oh, no, now I really have to hit this clay.
Uh-huh.
So, and they don't display that joy when they hit the clay or when they catch the fish. Women get very, very excited. It's so fun to watch.
I love it. Oh. You know, I have to break in a minute. I had a lady that was 35 years on the police force. Little bitty thing. I bet she wasn't 5 foot. She'd never been fishing the ocean before. And when I got her marlin. Actually, she got a grand slam with me. It was the happiest thing, and it made me so happy to see her jumping and screaming. And I was a policewoman, you know, that don't normally do that.
Yeah, Grizz, I tell you, that's why I do what I do. It's marvelous to watch. And then they start the competition. There was one woman on our trap line, and they called me down and said, could you kind of work with her? Because she's really taking up a lot of our time. And every time she'd yell pull, she wouldn't pull the trigger.
Oh.
And so I worked with her for about 20 minutes. And finally I said, honey, really, you don't need to do this. She goes, oh, yes, I do. I said, all right, this time I don't care if you hit that clay or not, but you pull that trigger. She was so afraid of the sound or the movement.
The recoil, probably.
Yeah. And, okay, so she did it. She shattered the clay. And I couldn't get her off the line. I mean, she just kept going, and she would. She was such a great shot. So that was in October. In December, she emails me, and she says, guess what I got for Christmas? And I went, oh, no, you did not. She goes, oh, yeah, I got a Benelli. Oh, I love it. And in June, she was shooting competition.
That's great.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, anything we can do to help you down here, we're taking some girls out. And I mean, serious now, I'm not playing. You know, to get them into Big Marlin or something like that. Count on us to help out in your organization, because I think it's very, very important.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too. And that's next year. We just, gosh, last year we had like 13 different clinics, and we had to cancel two of them. And the board decided this year, you know, and I know that what it was. I know it was the economy. I mean, women, it's hard. It's very difficult for women to get away for a weekend and spend, you know, some money. And it was hard last year. This year, there's a turnaround. Mm. Our duck hunt was filled. We have an ATV clinic coming up on Memorial Weekend. That's filled. After that, we have our Alaska fishing trip, and that one, I think we have about 15 right now, and we can take 28, and that is, I mean, I call that the Alaska adventure.
Yeah, well, you're forgetting about us down here in Mexico. Put something together with us.
We're working on that, Grizz. We're thinking about coming down in November, Susan, but one of the things, well, not one of the things, is women normally are smaller and less muscle than men, but in most of the things you're talking about, even if you're talking about marlin, that it's not really required. It's more finesse. In particular, if you're talking about like the shooting sports or fly fishing, because it seems as though women can take to fly fishing very quickly, and because they do have more patience and they have more finesse, they can they probably have an advantage.
Oh, especially fly fishing, John. Especially mm-hmm. fly fishing. All of my instructors have told me that they would rather teach women than men any day of the week. Men think that the harder they push forward, the further the line is going to go. And really, it's all about the timing. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, and I agree 100%. Because years I had the Montana Fly Fishing School there in Montana, and I would rather have 20 women than one man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're so pig-headed, and they, like you said, power ranks, and it doesn't in a fly rod.
Oh, no, no, But I also know that it does take a little strength when you're trying to pull up a 30-pound tuna.
Yeah, it does.
Well,
oh,
there's,
my God.
But
of the gals last year pulled up when we were down there in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
La Paz, and she pulled up a 30-pound tuna. Oh, my gosh. It took an hour. It was a wonderful. I never thought that fish would fight like that.
Oh yeah, no, they pull hard, and they, you know, the problem is they don't come up on the top of the water. They just want to go straight down, and you have to horse them. But there are ways, you know. First of all, you know, if you got the gear, and then you can also use a harness, and there are ways to do it.
She finally did it,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, she was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
It was. We're gonna have to do that again, Susan.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready to go to La Paz. It's so beautiful.
It is. It is. Well, we're going to be talking to La Paz in a few minutes, but we're going
to
have to go here pretty quick.
You're talking to it now, John.
Grizz, stop interrupting me. Anyway, Susan, let's get some quick information on becoming an outdoors woman, how to get in touch with you.
Okay. We have a fabulous website that gives, you know, prices and everything, all of the different workshops, and it's BOWCA.org.
Okay, so it's Becoming an Outdoors Woman California.org, BOWCA.org. Awesome. Thank you, Susan. We appreciate that for coming in and helping us out, and we're going to be back in touch with you, and we'll see if we can put a trip together, maybe to La Paz, Grizz. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we have the Grizz on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back momentarily.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort, the Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja, on the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
You can fish from a boat, or you can stand on shore, or you can use a pontoon with carpet on the floor. You can sit upon a dock or wade out to a big old rock on fishing, fishing, fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And down on the pause, we've got a couple of very special guests. Of course, we've had the Grizz on the line with us that has been giving a hard time to Susan at becoming an outdoors woman. And now we'll see what we can do with David Jones in La Paz, who operates Fisherman's Fleet down in La Paz. It's got to be the premier operation in La Paz. And David, we haven't had you on for a little bit, and it's always a lot of fun to have you.
Well, thank you, John. Is Mike still driving more women outdoors?
I want to be an outdoor woman, David.
Well, he said
off to Sweden you go.
Yeah, off to Sweden you go. No, he said he'd shave his beard, and I said, he'd take a lot more than that. Even lipstick wouldn't help that face.
No, probably would.
Despite some of the names he's called, yeah.
Okay. David,
what's up to you, John?
Well, you know, we're having fun for one thing, and as you know, I missed you. I was down there a couple of weeks ago when we went out, and that's one of the things that I'd like to talk to you a little bit about. We mentioned earlier in the program that, there's always a lot of controversy about where, you know, how many fish are in the ocean and where are they, and you know, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? We know that the conservation efforts in southern Baja seem to be paying off. The first couple times I went down to Cabo or Baja Sur looking for marlin, they're there. But I haven't missed a year in more than 25 years. And we were down there a couple weeks ago. There were more than I've ever seen. I don't think anybody really knows where or why. Obviously, where the bait is where the fish are, but there are certain seems to be cycles that happen that, you know, man does not have that much control over. So I wonder if you could give some insight on that.
Well, I think those are probably the same group of fish that are up off of Mag Bay in the wintertime. I mean, up there in October, November, December, we get a lot of fish, and they start sliding down south on the Humboldt Current following the bait down, and they end up oftentimes January and February are very good in Cabo, and then as the Sea of Cortez starts to warm up, some of them come up inside the Sea of Cortez. So it's a water temperature and food thing. There are a lot of marlin left. There are less than there were before. I mean, all the serious studies on that conclude that there are many less big fish in the ocean than there once were, but there's still quite a few there. I mean, I'm not sure any place is as good a fishing as it was 50 or 100 years ago, but that's still one of the finer places on the planet to go.
Well, can you imagine what the fishing in Sea of Cortez would have been 100 years ago? You hear stories and see pictures. Of course, you know, back then it was a supply that was inexhaustible, or so we thought.
Oh, especially with the techniques and hardware that were currently available at the time. I mean, if you look at what had the biggest impact on fishing around here before the trawlers were the outboard motor, you know, back in days when people are using a sail or oars, the range from their home port was very, very limited. And to get back with fish still intact, you know, without refrigeration, the circle around each of these little towns down here of influence of the local fishermen is very small. Hmm. And with the advent of outboard motors and refrigeration, that's gotten a lot larger. But back then, yeah, that must have been very impressive. That's one of the reasons people in La Paz have a reputation for being laid back. If you read the old stories, if you're an Indian or a native living down here a couple hundred years ago, living wasn't very hard. Just kind of walk down to the water, pick up an abalone and a crab, and head back to put it in the pot. You know, you
right.
didn't have to chase buffalo across the prairie or anything.
No, that's a very very interesting perspective. And then also a couple of things coming up. We do have guest Grizz. We've got a tournament coming up at the end of June. So if anybody's interested, and this is a Dorado tournament, correct, that we're putting on?
Yeah. It's the 23rd. It's going to be, you can win a Toyota if you win that for the largest Dorado. So we got that going on. It's going to be very, very good. We're working with the club on that and with Eagle Claw. And it's happening. There's a lot of people coming in.
Well, I'm sure David Jones has got some boats available if somebody wants to join in on that, for sure, right?
Yeah, David's always got things going.
We get the Toyota home, but...
David, I was just bragging about how good your phone reception was, but it looks like it's starting to break up a little bit there. But you know, David's operation is unique because it's kind of a one-stop thing. If you want to stop down, you know, he can even put you up, feed you, take you out fishing, clean your fish, and it's got to be one of the best deals in the world as far as big game fishing for what you get and what you pay.
You a minute on that. David Jones has fishes the world capital. I mean, there's no finer fishing anywhere for rooster fish in the whole world. I call it the capital of the world for rooster fish. And he's got special trained guides that Charles and I fish with. And I mean, if you guys really want a giant rooster, David's the guy to go for. And then remember, you got all winter to fish Mag Bay too.
David, what's the season for roosters?
As soon as the water starts to warm, we're starting to get a few. We've seen some in the 25 and 30-pound range. The big guys won't get here until probably mid-May or so, and they'll be around mostly Thanksgiving.
Okay.
As long as the water's over about 78, 79, they'll be around.
Great. Well, and David and I had talked earlier about the... You know, the Southern Baja, in particular, we're talking about La Paz, for the kind of experience that you can have for the money that you spend. They're really, you know, you can go to South America, you can go to Alaska, and there's some good experiences. But you know, if you can only afford a week's salary, you can do it down there.
Well, you know. With David, John, you talk about those exotic places. You don't need them. You don't need to spend that kind of money because with David, I mean, Charles and I have been fishing with him for a long time. And like I said, best guides and really big, big fish. And the way they fish is different than most. And it's affordable for anybody.
Hey, Grizz,
that can do it.
Grizz, you got to be careful because all this buildup you're giving him, we're going to ask him for some money and he ain't going to pay it. So.
Well, I know that. I know David for outage. But I love David. He's my brother. And I'll say that all over, Toby. Okay. He's the best there is.
Okay.
So he's good.
David, give us a quick quick information on getting in touch with you down there.
Well, I think they can go to your website, John, and your link to us, or they can go to www.fishermansfleet.com.
Yep, that's where to do it. Go to fishtalkradio.com.
All you got to do is call us, and we'll set them up with a good fishing trip.
Sounds good. Go to fishtalkradio.com, and then right on the front page is Fisherman's Fleet. David, thank you very much. We're going to move down the coast a little bit and find out what's happening in Cabo. Thank you, David. Okay, now I think that we have the Wolf in Cabo San Lucas from the Picante Fleet.
I thought I was Grizz's best.
Oh, that's right. See, Grizz, I told you to be.
You jealous guy. I can't believe you're so jealous.
yeah, you know I'm just green with envy. Speaking of green with envy.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me what's happening with the Marlin. I've been hearing great things. I'm coming down here in a couple of days. What's going on?
The water is warming up, and the fishing is, I mean, it's like, it still amazes me. As good as the fishing is now, there aren't more people down here. Just to give you an idea, yesterday, We caught striped marlin, we caught dorado, we caught yellowfin tuna, we caught rooster fish, we caught grouper, and we caught shark. It's hot. We've had 10 fish days on a couple of our boats, and it all started around April 17th. April 17th was a day in man that the marlin has been going nuts.
Are they still up, and are they hitting? They were kind of sluggish to hit when I was down there a couple weeks ago, but are they aggressive now?
Well, it's like even when you were down here, some of the boats were doing real good and some weren't. They were all seeing lots of marlin, and, you know, some boats were picking up 10, some were picking up 2. Just, you know, it's different fish. Depends on what they want to do. And we know about their brains. When they're hungry, if you put it there, they're going to get it.
Yeah. Do you think they have brains?
I don't want to talk about it.
I didn't think you did.
I'm surprised John didn't get in there and stop us before we got started on that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, he gets on me every once in a while for getting too much out of control. But I don't think fish have brains.
I
think they just hit on instinct.
Yeah, they definitely do. And if you get them at the right time, and like I say, the water's really heat up, I guess. Upper Sea of Cortez must be heating up quite a bit, too.
Well, up here, you know, I went out yesterday, and I fished yellowtail, believe that or not. It was 69 degrees in the Bajo, and I was catching yellowtail.
Yeah, we're still catching those down here, and it's sort of it's interesting. But the big thing we got coming up next week is that IGFA Offshore World Championship. And if the fishing keeps getting as good as it's been getting and improves, it's going to be great. The interesting thing is next week during the tournament, they're predicting 98 and 99 degrees every day. So it's going to heat up and heat up.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to cut you a little bit short, Mike. But again, it sounds like these are the good old days, as we talked about a little bit earlier. So get on down there. And again, go to fishtalkradio.com. Right on the front page where it says Picante Sport Fishing, go ahead and check that out. They're far and away the nicest modern fleet in Cabo San Lucas, which probably means in the world. So, Mike, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on and giving us the information.
Okay, we'll see you soon. We'll see you soon, Grizz.
Okay, and Grizz, obviously you're going to stick around for a little bit longer because we're going to come back and see if we can get some information up and down in California. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John and the Grizz, and we'll be right back with you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
There's nothing like a morning bite when the fish are eating well, or a new crankbait that's running straight over a rocky ledge or tree that fell, a new shiny boat that I can tow to every lake that I can find. So when the weekend comes and the work gets done, I got one thing on my mind.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz that's on the line with us from down in Baja, California, sir. We have the line also with Shelley Hudson, and she works for a company called California Parks Company, and, man, they're everywhere. Shelley, do you even know how many marinas, campgrounds, and parks that you guys operate?
We operate 19 different locations. Where we're at right now in California. different marinas. We have big lakes, San Pedro, San Antonio, Lake Nacimiento, Comanche Lake, of course. And then we have some couple little places, Big Basin, Mount Lassen Volcanic Park is part of us. Death Valley. So we have a good spread around.
Well, if you want to go, Shelley, you're coming a little bit weak. I assume that you're on your cell phone. Are you outside?
I'm actually on a landline phone outside. Yes, let me squeeze back in closer. Is this better?
Oh, well, keep trying. But we're gonna keep on going with you anyway. So it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the time of the year to start making your plans for where you might be wanting to go. Now you operate with Lake Comanche is where you're normally headquartered.
Correct. Yes.
Well, give us an idea about Lake Comanche, where it is, and why would anybody want to go there?
Lake Comanche. Perfect. Gosh, why not come here?
Okay.
Are you still there?
Go ahead. Now, we got you loud and clear now.
Okay, I came back inside.
Oh, okay, okay. Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're about 25 minutes east of, Stockton, Sacramento area. You can get to us off of Highway 99, the freeway, and Highway 12. We have an entrance, which is our South Shore. You can also get to North Shore Marina, which is off of Highway 88. There's two sides of our lakes, and we're actually located in three different counties.
Lake Comanche is in three different counties?
You have your San Joaquin, you have Calaveras, and Amador County.
Well, we certainly get an idea where it's at by that, but it's either a big lake or it's right on the corner.
It's a big lake, actually right on the corner. We have numerous campsites, full RV monument and miners camp hookups for campsites and camping, cottages, hotels. We have awesome fishing. Our bass are spawning right now like crazy. They've actually been coming out of the water, which is nice to see this time of the year and seeing people catch them, because we mostly get a lot of reports on trout, which we spend a lot of our money on planting trout here. We've been planting 6 October, and we just had a plant on the 1st of this month, which is pretty cool. We're still planting in May with the water temperatures.
We're talking about water temperature. What's your elevation there?
Our elevation right now, we're 209, if you want to get technical, 209 above sea level. We sit about, I want to say 2,800 feet. We're not that high up in elevation. Our water
the lake is about 2,800 feet above sea level?
Correct, 209 above sea level.
Yeah, well, that would probably help keep the temperature down, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sit around 62 degrees. It actually cooled back down because we're now getting inflow let back into us. We were down and we're raising about a foot to a foot and a half nightly as our water level is starting to come back up.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's great news.
I guess so. Does that mean there's still any shore left?
We're sitting at actually only 58% full. We dropped down to 50% in our water. We're one of the low lakes right now. A lot of lakes around us are full, but we feed off of Lake Party. East Bay Mud runs our water and land here. So with that being in mind, when they turn on their generators, we all jump up and down because we know we're going to fill up.
That's
what we want. We don't want the beaches. We want the fun fishing and water activities.
There you go. So now, speaking of that, are you allowed to swim in the lake?
Yes, this lake you can swim in.
Okay.
You can bring jet skis. You have your bass boats, your wakeboarding boats. All water activities are allowed out here on the water.
And if somebody wants to drag their boat down there, you can put them up and then even find them a place to stay?
I take care of actually the slips. We have open and covered slips that we rent out yearly, monthly, daily, weekly. There's buoys. I take care of houseboats if anybody's looking to moor a houseboat.
Oh, cool.
We put those here on the lake. I actually have about 20 spots available for houseboats right now. And we can put you up, and there's hotels and cabins if you don't like the camping. You can stay in a little cottage.
And do you guys, does California Parks operate anything other than the campsites?
The marinas, the stores. Actually, we operate the whole thing here. East Bay Mud is our land and water people, and we stand ahead of them, and we make sure we get everything done and keep it up for them. They patrol and run and tell us what we can and can't do, and we just step up and do the right thing.
Perfect. Well, obviously,
we go by the rules.
Obviously, California Parks Company, I think it's called CA Parks, CA Parks CO, is that what it is?
For a website
mm-hmm.
or the company?
Yes.
Yes, that is it. You
okay.
are correct.
Okay. And then, of course, if they want to get in touch with Shelley at Lake Comanche,
yeah.
Can they do that?
Yes, they can. Feel free to call the marinas. It's a 209-763-5166. And we'll be able to take care also of Facebook. If there's any questions or anything, feel free to add a message, and we take care of everyone. We don't let a message slip out of anyone.
Cool. Lake Comanche, like the Indians. Shelley, you did a great
yeah.
job. I want to get up there.
Hey, thank you. Come up here. We'll figure something out and get you guys up here.
There you go.
I'll
thanks,
teach
Shelley.
I'll teach you how to fish.
Okay. You got a deal. Okay.
You
thanks,
got
Shelley.
It.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Speaking of learning how to fish, Dan Hart might have some tips for us. Dan works at the West Marine Superstore down in San Diego. And if there's anything you need to know about fishing, especially that part of the world, Dan's the man. So, Dan, give us an idea what's happening in Southern California.
Well, we've still got some yellows going on. We've had them going on for a week or 10 days now. There's stuff at the rock pile. They're catching a few fish. They had a few fish in the last couple of days, along with some barracuda, which really looks nice to see those berries in there around the islands right now. So that's what's kind of got us excited. The yellows have been coming up and down. One day's better than the next. And there's still a few yellows being seen and one or two being caught in La Jolla, although mostly seen and not catching so much up there.
Mm-hmm.
Calicos along the Point Loma seem to be biting okay. If you get in the weeds fishing deep right now, if you get decent current and decent weather for a little bit, there's been some good calico fishing also.
Well, it sounds like the water is warming up a little bit, so it must be, what, hitting 60, 62 then?
60, 61, we've heard from the guys that are getting in it and from mm-hmm. from what they're saying, and that's good fishing water. Once we start getting to the 60s, or if the stuff's going to start to bite, all we need is current and clean water, and stuff will go pretty good.
Yeah. Now, on the yellows, how long do you think they'll stick around?
Well, sometimes on a normal year, we see that stuff around the islands to a certain extent all summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, standard years, it's been pretty good here in the springtime, and it hasn't been that way for a couple of years, but we're looking forward to finding the year where we have them stick around for a couple months here in the springtime so we can catch them pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unusual to find that stuff there through the middle of June, into June, and then we're offshore paddy fishing them on the same kind of stuff, but we're floating kelp paddies after that all summer.
Well, obviously, we still are always curious about white sea bass, if there's anything that happening down there.
The kayakers have been picking one here and one there, but the squid aren't really in on the La Jolla beds where they were like last year and the year before to catch them there. So as soon as that squid shows up, the sea bass are going to be right behind him, and we expect them at any time. They're a little overdue now. There's a little bit of squid around the islands, but most of it's been here in La Jolla, and the commercial guys aren't fishing it down here, so it's not really up on the beds right now.
Well, it might be a little bit early in the year yet, but, of course, albacore is always a buzz, and last couple of years it hasn't been all that hot, has it?
No, there was some stuff last year, but it flashed through here pretty quick. I think the water conditions and temperatures are a little better this year, and the temperatures offshore are up where we might even see them at the end of May and the first part of June on the long range trips.
Mm-hmm.
Guys going down to Guadalupe or fishing 2 or 3 day trips might start to see the first of that. I wouldn't expect to see the 1 day boats to the standard, you know, 4th of July, shoot out your firecrackers and go albacore fishing on the 1 day boat.
Yeah, well, sometimes they do. Just depends.
Yep.
I guess the thing about albacore is that, you know, they move apparently from the south to the north this time of the year, but it depends on how far out they go, right?
Well, yeah, how far out they go, where the bait is, where the clean water is. You know, they got to follow the stuff to eat. So, and that stuff follows where the nicer looking water edges are. So if we get nice water in here, then we're going to have a good season for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the last couple of years big bands of ugly water between us and the fish. We had to go 100 and 110 miles to get to mm-hmm. the clean water. And that's what was some of the problems in the last couple of years finding fish.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's great when you can go a little bit farther north or up around Morro Bay or Avila or something where you can get on one of the boats and be on them within a couple of hours. But, if they're out there 200 miles, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, we catch them here in San Diego. Sometimes as close as 30, 35 miles, but most of the time you're going 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when that water's here between that band of dirty water is in between us and the fish, you got to go 110 or 120 miles, and then that's pretty much out of 1 day range.
Okay. Well, Dan, we're gonna let you go because we're, again, running out of time. But, the West Marine at the Shelter Island store is if you want to find Dan, and they've got everything. It takes up the entire block. Or just go to westmarine.com for more information. Dan, thank you very much. You're listening
right,
to Fish
guys.
Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
What are you doing?
Dan, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that coming in. And Grizz, I know you've been awfully quiet a little bit, but why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what's happening down there? And we're talking about the yellowtail coming all the way up and down the coast.
Yeah, well, John, I went out yesterday. I figured I got the last yellowtail bite was yesterday. Be the change of the moon right now, what's happening. And Charlie and I went out and got yellowtail, made a nice show out of it. And then we got some nice rooster fish, nothing tremendously big, probably 40-pound, probably the biggest one. And but what's happening, you know, down in the Van Warmer Resorts is really doing good. Those marlin have moved up there, and they're even catching some not big tuna, but they're catching some yellowfin tuna down
Grizz,
there, about 20-30 pounds.
Grizz, we are going to have to let you go. Now you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We really appreciate you joining us in. This is John with the Grizz.